Good morning. We are in a series where we're being challenged to be part of God's story as we reflect on the church in the book of Acts. And we've been encouraged over the last few weeks to be part of God's story by being empowered by the Holy Spirit, by being community, and by how we face challenges. And today we're challenged to be part of God's story by being prayerful, as we look at the passage that Shirley has just read to us so well. Look, it's an honour to be asked by Pastor David to speak this morning, and I thank him. And to be perfectly honest, it's a scary honour, and I feel very inadequate. And I do thank the members of my life group and others who've been praying for me. And let's start with prayer now, shall we? Lord, please give me the right words and give all of us open hearts to learn more from you and from your word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you heard the story? Have you heard the story about the two men who are being chased across the paddock by a raging bull? And they're racing across the paddock and the bull's getting closer. And one guy looks at the other and he says, "Come on, mate, I think we better pray." And the other guy says, "Yes, you pray." He says, No, you pray." And the bull's getting closer and they can feel the hot breath of the bull on the back of their necks. And one guy says, "Oh, please pray. And the guy comes out with the only prayer that comes to mind: "For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful." Look, I believe in prayer. I pray, but I feel very inadequate many times about my prayer life. Do I have any friends? All right. So who am I to talk to you this morning about prayer? I'm sure you all pray. We all do. I'm sure there's a lot of prayer going on in our church family. How do I know? Because I see the evidence and the results. And we see Brian Capon sitting at the back there only a few weeks after his major heart surgery. And there are so many really encouraging things happening in our church family over these last few years, aren't there? New faces, new families, baptisms, so many people part of life groups, new groups, the amazing work that the Catalyst Group are doing, and we heard from them this morning. The people involved in sports chaplaincy, and we'll hear more about them and other things in May Mission Month coming up. And I'm sure you know, as I do, that nothing significant ever happens for God's kingdom apart from prayer. And so I commend those of you who do pray so faithfully. It's important. Keep it up. I commend those who meet for prayer before church at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. Those who are part of the prayer chain, those who pray in small groups, the prayer team, those who are faithfully on call, ready to pray with anybody at the front of the church week by week after our service, those perhaps who took a booklet after Pastor David mentioned it last week and have been praying for the persecuted church, those who pray with a prayer partner or a prayer triplet, those who pray on their own, who pray at home or in the car or perhaps on the train. So when I speak today, I'm really speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to anyone else. Now, as a teacher, we're supposed to have our learning intentions up there, so I haven't got anything up there, but I've got three learning intentions. I pray that, and my intention is that we would all be encouraged, that we would all commit to praying more, and that we'd all commit to praying more boldly. Shirley read us what I think is a really lovely, amazing passage, actually very encouraging passage, isn't it? And so we're going to look at that passage and see what we learn about prayer and about the church as they met in prayer. And I've got 4 points, and they all start with S, so they might help us remember them, right? So first of all, that early church was a church that spent time in prayer. So we see there in that passage that Shirley read to us this morning, all right, in verse 5, that Peter was kept in prison, but the people of the church were praying earnestly to God for him. Now, here they had a specific problem, right? Their brother was in prison. Look, I heard a message recently. When you're faced with a challenge, it all depends where you put the but. Peter was in prison, but the church were praying. Paul wrote to the Philippians, didn't he? When he was in prison, he wrote, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, but always with thanksgiving." Where do you put the but in the challenges that you might face this week? There's a problem, but God. Or there's a God, but. Right? Where's the but this week for you? But this church was not just a church that prayed when they had problems. But we know they did, and they kept praying. And when Peter came out of prison in the middle of the night, miraculously, they were still there praying in the middle of the night. So they spent time in prayer. But they didn't just pray when they had a problem. And Paul's reminded us this morning that prayer is more than just coming to God and asking him things and bringing our shopping list. Right? Of course, in the Psalms, we read so many times the psalmists are calling out to God in desperate straits, pleading for God. But always they've got praise on their voices, praise in their hearts. And there are those verses of praise interspersed with the pleading. When Paul reminded us that that also we can bless God, and we can do that in song, we can do that in prayer as well. The early church was a church that spent time in prayer. We read very early in Acts chapter 1, even before the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, that they gathered frequently to pray as a group. And then after the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, we read that they spent time learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship, sharing in the fellowship meals and prayers. Prayer was really a part of their life. When Peter and John were on their way to a prayer meeting to the temple at the time of prayer, that was when they met the leper and they performed that first miracle. And of course, when there was persecution, they prayed. And in this particular passage, they pray. And Acts 2:43 tells us that there were many miracles and wonders that were being done through the apostles, and everyone was in awe, and every day the Lord added to their number. There were miracles, there were wonders, there was incredible growth. But all of it, I'm sure, was on the foundation of meeting together in prayer. Nothing worthwhile happens for the kingdom of God without prayer. The church spent time in prayer. But I love this story also because it comes over so human, doesn't it? They weren't super spiritual human beings, were they? They were just men and women like us. And by chapter 12, they'd already seen all these amazing miracles and answers to prayer. And they'd been praying, and Peter gets out of jail and he knocks on the door in the middle of the night. And they were still praying. And the servant girl goes to the door. She's so excited that she doesn't open the door, runs away. Right? She's so surprised. And then the others, "You're crazy. Can't be Peter. It must be his angel." At last they opened the door, and it says they were amazed. They were praying earnestly. God answered their prayers, and they didn't really believe it. They were surprised. And I can identify with that. They didn't expect God to answer because it was all too hopeless. And Herod was too powerful, and it was just impossible. So they spent time in prayer, but they were just like us. They were human. They didn't always have that faith. They were surprised. They spent time, and they were surprised when God answered sometimes. And we're like that, aren't we? But, you know, God is okay with that. And aren't we glad that God answers our prayers not because of our faith? And the Bible says we just need faith like a grain of mustard seed. But it's faith in that all-powerful, almighty, all-loving, all-present God who longs to hear and answers prayer. I love the prayer of the Father in Mark 9:24 when he brings his son to first to the disciples and then to Jesus for healing. And he says, I do have faith, but not enough. Help me to have more. The early Christians, they were human, just like us, right? And the disciples during Jesus' ministry, Jesus prayed. The impact he had on them was obviously so amazing that they asked him, teach us to pray. And he taught them to pray. And they saw him pray. And they saw the answers to prayer. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, he needed their prayers. And he asked them to pray. And they fell asleep. Not once. Not twice. But three times. But Jesus is okay with it. We're human. We're weak. But Jesus is okay with it. God's okay with that. Right? He understands our weakness. But it is his power, his Holy Spirit working in us, who was at work in the Church of Acts, the same Spirit at work in us. And he hasn't finished with us yet. And you know what I think? I think every time they saw an answer to prayer, their faith grew stronger. And you know what? Every time they saw an answer to prayer, their prayers grew bolder for next time. So they spent time in prayer, but they could be surprised at answers. But thirdly, they realized that they were involved in a spiritual battle. Peter was in prison, and Herod was obviously a ruthless king. But it was more than just a ruthless king trying to curry favor with the Jews. The early church realized that at the heart of it all, there was a spiritual battle. And Herod and the persecution was just like a visible tip of the spiritual forces of darkness. And Jesus faced the same thing in his ministry, didn't he? And in that same passage in Mark 9, when the father brought his son to Jesus and the disciples couldn't cast out the demon, and Jesus said, it's only with prayer, and another version says, with prayer and fasting, that this kind can be cast out. And it's amazing in the Bible how many times prayer and fasting are linked together. But that's a different message. All right. Let's look at just Ephesians. I'll just read to you briefly from Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul writes in verse 12. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armor now. And he talks about standing with truth, with righteousness, with faith, with salvation, with the word of God. And then in verse 18, do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. Paul knew that there was a spiritual battle, and prayer was so important. The early church knew there was a spiritual battle, and prayer was so important. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, the weapons we use in our fight are not the world's weapons, but God's powerful weapons, which we use to destroy strongholds. We destroy false arguments. We pull down every proud obstacle that's raised against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. Do your thoughts sometimes take you captive? Because mine do. Fear. Oh, what if? Doubt. Anger. Despair. Oh, it's impossible. How can we take those thoughts captive and make them obey Christ? Well, in large part by prayer, and by focusing on the promises of God in his word. We can confess our fears and our thoughts to God. We can call on the power of the Holy Spirit, who is with us, to help us overcome. And we can seek God's wisdom, as James exhorts us. The early church recognized that there was a spiritual battle, and God had equipped them by filling them with his Holy Spirit. And we too have the same Spirit, God's power and God's wisdom dwelling in us. They spent time in prayer. They were surprised could be surprised at answers to prayer. They recognized there was a spiritual battle. And finally, they recognized that they had a sovereign God who answered prayer. And this can be seen in the way that Peter got out of jail. God sent his angel to rescue him. But let's just have a look at how that happened. It was the night before his trial. It doesn't say how long he'd been in jail, but it was obviously for a few days at least. Could have been longer. And the church had been praying, but the answer wasn't immediate. And I'm sure we know that from experience, don't we? We can often pray, but sometimes we have to wait for the answer. And often it seems like the last minute, the night before the trial. And there may be many reasons for that. And of course, we know, don't we too, that our faith does develop more through those tough times than in the easy times. But also, there's that spiritual battle. We read in Daniel chapter 10, well, in fact, 9 and 10, but I just read to you, in Daniel 9 and 10, Daniel was distressed for God's people in exile, and he prayed, and there was no immediate response. And then in chapter 10, verse 12, we read this. An angel appeared to Daniel, and he said, Daniel, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayers ever since the first day you decided to humble yourself in order to gain understanding. I've come in answer to your prayer. The angel of the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief angels, came to help me, because I'd been left there alone in Persia. I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the future. So God says, I heard your prayers the first day you prayed to me. But there was obviously some fierce spiritual opposition for 21 days until eventually, with the help of Michael, the angel could overcome and come and bring that encouragement to Daniel. Now, don't get me wrong. We know that God is sovereign. There is nothing impossible for God. There's nothing that he cannot do. He caused a virgin to be pregnant and to give birth to the Son of God. He raised Jesus from the dead for our sakes. He has poured his Holy Spirit into us and his people. There is nothing that can stand against him. But we do know the reality, don't we? That prayer is not always answered immediately. And sometimes God doesn't answer as we ask or we expect or we hope. He always hears. He heard Daniel the first day that he prayed, even though Daniel had to wait for his answer. He always answers, but he answers in his way. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But not what I want, your will be done. And we know that Jesus was arrested and he died on the cross. He didn't. He actually prayed, if possible, for that not to happen. But he also prayed for God's will to be done. And God had a better plan to raise him to life for us. So God does always answer our prayers, but not always as we hope or expect. Now, Peter was in chains. So we'll just look a bit more briefly at how Peter got out of jail there. Peter was in chains, right, when the angel came to him. I don't know, perhaps you feel in chains this morning. If there's something in your life that you wish you could really change, maybe that's your chains, your prison. It might be your work, the pressure you're under, or your family, your children, your marriage. It might be your health or finances, or just a feeling of hopelessness. Peter was in chains, but when God intervened and the angel appeared, first of all, a bright light came into the cell. And when God answers our prayers and intervenes, His light fills that situation, doesn't it? And then the chains fell off by themselves. But then God asked, or the angel asked Peter to do something. And he said, wake up! And maybe God's saying to somebody this morning, wake up. There's something I want you to wake up to about yourself. And then Peter had to do something. Get up. Follow me. Actually, put your clothes on first, because it's going to be a bit embarrassing if you're running down the street, right? And people are going to get alarmed. But then the angel led Peter out. Peter had to move, but the angel went before him. And when God answers our prayers, and when God asks us to move, we know he always goes before us, and we follow. And then the gates opened by themselves. And when God answers prayer and God leads, gates open by themselves. And Peter didn't know if it was real or whether he was seeing a vision. But he followed the best he could. He followed what he believed God had shown him. And that's all God asks of us, isn't it? And then, when he came to his senses and he realized what had happened, it says in Acts 12, verse 11, then Peter realized what had happened and he said, now I know that it is really true. The Lord sent his angel to rescue me from Herod's power and from everything the Jewish people expected to happen. If you feel in chains or in a prison this morning, there will be, as always, an opportunity for prayer at the front here. And there'll be someone to meet you here this morning. Perhaps you're in chains and God wants to set you free. And God wants to open the gates. And he wants to lead you out. But you have to do something. And he says, get up, follow me, move. So the church was a church that spent time in prayer. A church that was surprised sometimes to see answers to prayer. A church that recognized that there was a spiritual battle, but a church that knew that they had a sovereign Lord who answered prayer. And I'd just like to finish with a story of answered prayer from our life group. And I've got permission from this person to tell the story. Many of you know Betty Gaspero and her husband Bob. And perhaps many of you have been praying for them because Bob's been very unwell. And Bob was ill. And late last year, Betty confided that she thought she nearly lost him. And he spent a long time in hospital. And she asked for prayer. And Betty loves her husband dearly. But there was a burden on her heart because he didn't know Jesus. And we prayed. And he got a bit better, but not well enough to come home. And we prayed and he went into rehab and we prayed. And then just before Christmas, he prayed and invited Jesus into his heart. And then we prayed that he'd come home. And we prayed he'd come home for Easter, but he couldn't come home for Easter. And then we prayed that he'd come home in God's time. And on Thursday, he came home. And he's in great positive spirits. And so much so that when I rang her yesterday, she said, well, yeah, he was sitting out in the garden pruning the bushes today. Right? And she gives thanks for prayers to those who prayed in our life group. But I'm sure many others have been praying. Betty gives her thanks. Look, she's not here today because she needs to be with Bob, but also she's got her own health battles and they need our continuing prayer. But, you know, that's a great news of answered prayer. Didn't happen quickly, but there's an answer to prayer. I've been reading a book called Miraculous Movements and the amazing work of God in other parts of the world and particularly amongst Muslims, and there's not time to go into that today, but thousands of Muslims are coming to faith in God, right? And this man here says, prayer is the greatest weapon that any disciple maker can wield, and God's people are using it effectively around the world at this very minute. Prayer takes the spiritual battle out of the human realm and puts it fully into God's hands. And not even the powers of hell itself can stand against his mighty spirit. It's prayer that has opened the doors of mosques, torn down the walls of bigotry, and broken the weapons of hatred. When God's people kneel in prayer, God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven.